From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast, in which Hank talked with Christian counselor and former gay activist Joe Dallas concerning same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, and the church. Let's now join Hank as he introduces Joe Dallas.
And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged, the podcast that gets me out of the studio and into the study where I talk to some of the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet, and today will be no exception. But before I get to this special guest, Joe Dallas, let me say that you ought to make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so that you don't miss a single episode. And you could also help Hank Unplugged get exposed to new audiences by giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, leave a review. There are so many reviews that I've looked at recently, including Josheb, who says, I've been seeking the truth of God since 1988, and Hank has helped light the path in the most amazing way. Charles says, Hank never ceases to find great people to have unbelievably deep conversations with, conversations that are extraordinarily interesting. This is a must listen. I love smart, godly people. And the next one, I don't even know, there's a handle here, but I don't know how to make it out. At any rate, it says, thank you so much, Hank and Sierra, for your loyalty to God and those who listen to you and support you. God has blessed you with so much wisdom, wisdom that you're willing to share with the whole world. And because of that, you have helped me get out of bad theology into good theology. I only listen to you and the books you recommend. I have almost all of your books, and then it goes on. At any rate, this is a fantastic opportunity to talk to one of the most interesting people on the planet. His name is Joe Dallas. He is the program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. This is a Christian counseling service to men who are dealing with sexual addiction, with homosexuality, with sexual relational problems. He is the author of many, many books that we recommend here at the Christian Research Institute, including Desires in Conflict, Answering the Struggle for Sexual Identity, is the subtitle, The Gay Gospel, subtitled How Pro-Gay Advocates Misread the Bible, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality, The Game Plan, Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity, A Strong Delusion, and most recently, speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and with clarity. And that's where I want to start today with Joe Dallas. Joe, thanks for joining me on Hank Unplugged.
Always a pleasure. Good talking with you, Hank.
You know, I kind of wanted to start with that last phrase, the subtitle of your latest book, Discussing Issues with Kindness and Clarity. And I think that's something that you have laid out so beautifully. You've sort of talked about yourself in a depreciating sense. You've said, you know what? When I first became a Christian, you know, you were once on staff with a pro-gay church, you were openly gay, you were a gay activist, and then you became a Christian, and you faced the task of explaining your turnaround to gay friends. And you point out that your first problem was that you knew what you believed, but you didn't know how to say it. And then you learned...
Yeah, that was pretty clumsy.
Yeah, then you learned how to say it, and you didn't know how to defend what you were saying. And then finally, you learned how to defend your beliefs, but you did it with the wrong attitude. I want to start with you unpacking that, because I think when we talk about this subject, this is of transcendent significance.
Well, that's an important point, Hank, and that's certainly true when we talk about homosexuality or transgenderism. It's generally true, I think, when we talk about any essential truths that may be controversial. And, of course, these are right at the top of the list if we're talking about current controversial truths. They're not the only ones. The truth about abortion, the truth about racism, the truth about the divinity of Christ, those all carry controversy as well. But I began back in 1984 knowing essentially what I believed, but not knowing how to say it, because it was emotional for me to basically say, I believe you're wrong. That is a very hard thing to say. Whenever we say to someone there is absolute truth, we are also saying, directly or indirectly, anything deviating from that truth is an error. Therefore, if you believe something deviating from the truth I just named, you are in error. And there's tension in that. So for me, it was very clumsy and awkward telling my gay friends, hey, guys, I've kind of reached a point where I realize this isn't what God intended for me. And gee, I just feel I need to make some changes. And they said quite rationally, well, Joe, are you saying that we're wrong? Are we going to hell? Are we outside God's will? Are we not Christian? And that was a very uncomfortable place for me to be in. So it was hard to say what I believed. Then it became hard to defend what I believed. I could finally get to the point of saying, I believe God created us male or female, that assigned sex we have is divinely assigned and permanent. We are meant to mate with the opposite sex. We are created to fulfill God's design for family and parenting through heterosexual union. I could say all of that. But I wasn't very good at defending my position. Why do you believe what you believe? Why is this an issue? Why does it even matter? That was a tough one for me, especially when I started doing secular interviews. Then when I felt I had a better handle on how to defend what I believed, I had to work on my attitude. Because as you know very well, Hank, people are very invested in being right, even if they're completely wrong. And if they are wrong and something in them is testifying to them that they may be wrong and they don't want to hear that testimony, they're going to take it out on you. I'm reminded of the way the religious leaders responded to Stephen when he confronted them in the book of Acts, and the guys went absolutely ballistic. And when people started doing that with me, hey, I got defensive and combative and basically was clobbering people with truth rather than trying to minister truth. So those are three areas I think probably we could all brush up on: clarifying where we stand, then being able to defend where we stand to reason with people like apologists, and finally doing it with the right attitude.
So I want to talk to you about a bill. In fact, you want to talk to me about a bill. I mean, this bill is on both of our minds, AB 2943. It's being heard by the California Assembly, and this is a bill that would take an act of counseling and reduce that act of counseling to consumer fraud if, by that act of counseling, you're charging a person for counseling involving an attempt to change sexual orientation, and in the process selling any books or CDs or taking in any income, it would become therefore a crime. And we're talking about a bill that is far-reaching, has a huge potential for a chilling impact on ministries and eventually on the church and many other areas as well. So this is something that we ought to wake people up to, because oftentimes these bills come and go and we're asleep at the switch. I mean, probably the classic example is Roe v. Wade.
Exactly right, Hank. This bill is almost certainly going to go through. Our listeners right now, as they hear what you just described, probably don't have a clue what you're talking about. And Hank, that was the idea. This bill has been pushed through committee quickly. They are pushing for a quick vote on it before there's much press. There are several Christian groups, especially in California, that have offered protest, have gone to Sacramento and offered testimony, all of which has been ignored. And because the California Assembly is overwhelmingly socially liberal and our governor is very, very much socially and politically to the left, there really is no doubt in my mind that this bill will go through. Now, what it does is, exactly as you said, it will criminalize any kind of service to someone who wants to change. And it will make what I do illegal, because I, as a pastoral counselor, do charge on a sliding scale basis people who come to me saying, "Joe, I'm gay. This is not what I want for my life. What can I do?" Many of my clients, Hank, are married Christian men who want to preserve their families, want to stay with their wives, want to be a father to their children, but they have homosexual desires. In some cases, they've been acting on those desires, committing adultery. According to this bill, I may no longer help them to stay faithful to their wives. If a man says to me, "Joe, I've been having sex with men, but I'm a married man, and I want to stay with my family, and I want to repent and stop this behavior. Will you help me?" According to this bill, I may not see him as a client unless I offer my services for free, which I will gladly do if that's what I'm going to need to do. It also means I cannot sell books in California that are on the topic of changing, repenting of homosexuality. And by the way, Hank, this bill specifically says that the kind of counseling prohibited includes not only counseling designed to help people change their feelings, but even their behavior. If you even help someone to stop having sex with men without in any way even suggesting that his sexual feelings will change, but just to change his behavior, even that is unacceptable under this bill. Now, the ramifications, as you said, are very far-reaching. This covers all counselors in California, all ministers who would charge for their services, anybody who in any way either sells books on overcoming homosexuality, counsels people to overcome homosexuality, or offers seminars for overcoming homosexuality. Those are now illegal if you charge for them. Let's not be naive. Of course, it will eventually become illegal to do it for free as well as for pay. This is an incremental approach they're taking, and then it will make its way to the church. So the end game is the church, and that is to cause the church to feel such pressure legally that homosexuality will no longer be addressed from the pulpit. So it's the times. It's a very dark and a very sad situation we see here in California.
What's breathtaking about what you just said is here you have a bill, AB 2943. It engages in viewpoint discrimination, speech regulation, burdens the free exercise of religion. It interferes with the liberty of choosing therapies that best further therapeutic goals. And the moment I look at this bill, as I did last night, in detail, I thought there's no way that what you just now said could be true, that this would pass quickly, because this is quite obviously unconstitutional.
These days, that doesn't mean much, Hank. Clearly, it's unconstitutional, but we are no longer in a time in this culture where the question is whether or not something is constitutional. The question becomes, who's going to make the most noise? Where will the most pressure come from? The California Assembly is largely beholden to the LGBTQ lobby. They're not about to deny them. And so sadly, we have passed the point, at least in this state, of considering whether or not something is constitutional. But you're quite right. I found it ironic. I was just a few days ago reading the Supreme Court decision from 2015, which greenlighted same-sex marriage. And the majority opinion wrote very specifically that religions and the free exercise of religion would still certainly be untouched by this Supreme Court decision to, in essence, redefine marriage, and that people of faith who are absolutely free to continue to live out their faith as they saw fit. But of course, that rings very hollow in light of what we are seeing in California and what I think we will see in several states now, because of course, California is a trendsetter.
Yeah, I want to talk some more about this, but there's some other bills in play, AB 2119 and AB 1779. Talk about those.
Yes, the one, and again, I unfortunately don't have all the information in front of me now, but...
Well, AB 219, it requires foster children with gender variations that they must get gender affirmative treatment.
Yes, and you will not be able to be a foster parent if you're not going to agree to that.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Christian counselor and former gay activist Joe Dallas. When a family member or friend says, "I'm gay," it can be very difficult to hear, but also difficult for the same-sex attracted person to utter. In these heartbreaking situations, having the right response is crucial. Few can navigate these troubled waters like Joe Dallas. In his book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says, "I'm Gay," Joe offers experienced and compassionate counsel for those whose loved ones struggle with homosexual desire. Receive your copy of When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly with more of this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There is a mysterious resonance among the structure of the material world, the abstract world of mathematics, and the human mind. This three-part harmony has major implications for the contemporary debate between naturalism and theism. The sciences alone, however, are insufficient to illuminate this enigma. Other topics include The Handmaid's Tale, Human Dignity and Hope. Slaughterhouse-Five is a tool for Christian self-examination. Redeeming Princess Culture, Five Apologetics Lessons from the Writings of Martin Luther King Jr., and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today at the new discounted rate by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit us at equip.org. C.S. Lewis famously described himself as the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. As such, there's no better title for a show telling the story of his conversion than C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Max MacLean, a masterful storyteller, portrays Lewis perfectly, telling the story of how one man went from being the most reluctant convert to one of the most influential Christians of our time. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the DVD, C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888
7000 CRI. You can also visit us online at equip.org. On this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, we're bringing to you an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast in which Hank invited Christian counselor and former gay activist Joe Dallas to discuss same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, and the church. Let's rejoin the conversation.
And then AB 1779 bans therapy for adults who are under guardianship or, under guardianship.
Yes, and that was put in initially as a stopgap measure in case AB 2943 did not pass. Of course, if AB 2943 passes, then it becomes a moot point anyway. Mm-hmm. But under that bill, if adults were under guardianship, no services like this could be offered to them. So, it was an incremental way of introducing basically a complete ban on any kind of counseling or ministry to people who are wanting to change their sexual behavior from homosexual to heterosexual.
I want to look at some solutions, but before I do that, maybe discuss the fact that back in 2013, so this is only 5 years ago, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that Bible-based expressions opposing homosexuality constituted a hate crime. And that has now evolved into, when I do shows in Canada, because we're syndicated in Canada as well, my shows cannot be aired until they're first listened to see if I'm saying anything that might be objectionable. And if there's anything that's deemed objectionable, then they simply pull the show.
Yeah. I somehow think this one's not going to make it, Hank.
Meaning?
No, I think that what we have to do, again, is just look at this with our eyes open. Of course, the end game is to silence any reference to homosexuality as being anything less than what God intended. And that includes simply quoting what Scripture has to say on the subject and on the definition of marriage.
Exactly.
That in and of itself is huge, Hank. But the precedent it sets is also huge because it's a precedent by which the government says, we hereby declare the right to censor you if you say something we deem offensive. Why, Hank, saying that homosexuality is a sin is not the only offensive, biblically based statement you can make. If you claim that Jesus is who he said he is, and that there is no other way to the Father but by him, many people will find that offensive. And thereby the government can, in essence, prohibit the clear teaching of the gospel.
You know, all of this takes your breath away, but so many things I want to talk about. But the thing that begs some kind of response from you is, what can we do? I mean, it seems, when you look at the gravity of the situation, all you can do is throw up your hands and say, well, that's just the way the culture is going. There's nothing I can do. Is there something that can be done at this point in time for people who are absolutely convicted by what you just said? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that can be done?
I think in the natural, we are limited in what we can do, but let's start with that. I do think we can and should be more involved in the process of electing people to public office, whether in our state assemblies, state Congress, national Congress and assembly, representatives, governors, certainly presidents, senators, what have you. I think we should be looking more carefully at a candidate's respect for the Constitution and for the freedoms the Constitution guarantees. This is not an advertisement for either political party. This is an advertisement for constitutional approaches to the way our government is run. And I think that we should be more involved in examining the constitutional respect of the people who we elect to office, and then electing people accordingly. I think that's one thing we can do. Another is, of course, we should object. whether or not our objections are heard, I believe that we are compelled to make objections to say this is wrong. It is unconscionable. It is possible. In fact, it's very likely this will go to the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, these days, that largely means, well, the court will vote according to the political makeup of the court. That's generally the way social issues go. But still, it may well be that we will need a groundswell of objection to be presented by the time it is taken to the Supreme Court.
What's the timing involved here?
Oh, well, again, you talk about breathtaking, Hank. There's a chance they will be voting on this in the assembly within the week. And in that case, there are already some Christian legal groups who are willing to file suit against it. And that will mean going through the regular route that it takes to get something to the Supreme Court. But my guess is that this is going to be voted on and approved probably within the next week to 2 weeks.
Yeah, when you say breathtaking, it does take my breath away. But we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, there has been a tsunami that is somewhat predictable. You and I have been talking about this for years and years and years, probably almost 30 years.
And right, Hank. We all saw it coming.
But you know what? Even though we saw it coming, when it comes, it's still hard to process.
It really is, isn't it, Hank? I mean, it's like watching someone who is very old. You know that their body is going to decay, but it's still hard to watch. On the other hand, I do want to point out that this more than ever speaks to the need for healthy discipling within the body of Christ. Now, I was a person who needed this sort of counseling 34 years ago, when I repented of homosexuality back in 1984. Now, I got some good counseling, which was very helpful. However, the real healing in my life came primarily because of my relationships with people within the body of Christ who discipled me, loved me, held me accountable, who were there for me. There are no laws against that, Hank. Now, maybe someday there will be. But all I'm saying is, even if all of us who do this kind of ministry get vaporized tomorrow, the church still has the ability to effectively minister to people who are wrestling with different sexual temptations and tendencies. And I think that more than ever, the body of Christ must awaken to the fact that the church is the last stop for people who have these kinds of problems. And I fully believe that Christian believers who are mature, who are well-grounded doctrinally and spiritually bearing good fruit, are absolutely capable of being effective mentors and brothers and sisters to the people who come into the church basically saying, I want to overcome this. What do I do now? There will be no place left for them to go but the church, because they're shutting the rest of us down.
Yeah, you know, what I need you to unpack for people is this is not a we-they siege mentality on the part of Christians. I mean, what you're talking about right now is your ability to help people. In other words, the people who are involved in these lifestyles find out that the lifestyles are bankrupt on a lot of different levels. They're debilitating, and they need help. And so they go to someone like you, they want help, and now the very people that need the help within the LGBTQI, and I think it's an A now too, community, are putting down their iron boot and say, you can't help these people anymore.
Yes, they are. And I would say, on the one hand, we will continue faithfully doing what we do as long as we are able to do it. We're all looking at how we're going to respond to this. I don't know anybody who does this kind of work. And by the way, Hank, we're all over the country. Ministry leaders, pastoral counselors, professional counselors, whatever, people who do this kind of work are all across the country. We're all talking about this, and we've all agreed, well, we're not going to stop. we'll have to figure out. It's sort of how, like when Jesus said, they persecute you in one city, flee to another. How do we continue to do what we do and still, you know, operate within the laws of the land to what extent we can? But it still gets down to the church. And this is why I say people within the body of Christ need to be involved with each other. We need to know each other. We need to have places within our church fellowships where it is okay to confess your struggles and where you get support to live a life within biblical guidelines, where you are received with compassion. This is body ministry. And my hope, my very earnest prayer, is that the church will awaken more than ever to the need for that kind of body ministry, that kind of interaction and mutual involvement to happen, so that if they take away all of our abilities to do this as a profession, they will still not be able to take away the church's ability to be the body of Christ.
So this is the place for Joe Dallas to do some exhortation, because I'm not so sure, Joe, that the church has the stomach for this.
I wish I disagreed with you. I think, though, there are times pressure externally brings out the best in us. It can bring out the worst, I know, and it can show cowardliness where it's been hiding. But I think when the churches realize more and more that, number one, there are people who have these desires but do not want to give in to them. And that's something still a lot of Christian people don't know. They think if somebody's gay, they are openly, brazenly gay, marching down the street and waving the flag. That's not true. In churches everywhere, there are people who secretly wrestle with homosexual temptations and don't want to give in to them. So I think as the church realizes there are people in our midst who want help, as well as people who, as you say, leave that behavior and come to the church wanting help. And secondly, as churches realize there are no other options for them, we can't just send them off to a specialized ministry. Why? Because the ministries are getting shut down. Then I think that plenty of Christians will roll up their sleeves and say, okay, let me be there to walk alongside them. Let me be a Barnabas to that Saul over there who's just repented and wants to turn around. And I think that this may bring out, in that sense, the best in the body of Christ. I'm hoping that it will.
Talk about the sexual revolution. What I want people to get listening into our conversation right now is a sense of where we were and where we are. So if you go back to, let's say, 30 years ago when you and I were talking about this, or actually, you can go back to the sexual revolution in the 60s and the 70s, but you go back to this period of time, you have a completely different country, a completely different mindset, and if I might say, in addition to that, I'm just thinking in my mind right now, a decade ago before Obama was elected president of the United States, he was still talking about marriage being a man and a woman. So we have had an incredible change of culture, and now that change continues to escalate. I want to talk in a few moments where we're going, but maybe better first to start with where we've been.
I am afraid that one of the greatest problems contributing to where we are now is worldliness.
We'll pick up Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Joe Dallas in just a few moments. Not long ago, the gay rights movement was asking that homosexual people be treated fairly and with respect. But today, mere legitimization is not enough. The gay rights movement now demands, with all the subtlety of a socialist purge, the punishment of anyone objecting to that legitimization. The book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, equips readers to respond to this volatile issue with reason and compassion. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or give online at equip.org. We'll be back after the break with more of the Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Christian counselor and former gay activist Joe Dallas on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man. Addressing some of the most difficult issues we face in our day-to-day lives, C.S. Lewis's timeless words provide an unparalleled path to greater spiritual understanding. Considered by many to be his most moving address, The Weight of Glory extols a compassionate vision of Christianity and compelling discussions on forgiveness and faith. The Weight of Glory is a compilation of addresses delivered by Lewis during World War II, offering deep insights into the hope Christianity has to offer in the midst of immense suffering and uncertainty. To receive your copy of The Weight of Glory by C.S. Lewis, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Many feminists see the warped value system portrayed in Hulu's The Handmaid's Tale as a reflection of Christian and social conservative ideologies. In reality, the dominant secular worldview, with its idolization of sexual freedom and rejection of intrinsic human dignity, fosters in the actual world the very oppression seen in the series. Other topics include how the structure and comprehensibility of the universe reveal a mindful maker, five apologetics lessons from the writings of Martin Luther King Jr., kindergartners need apologetics too, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today at the new discounted rate by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're bringing to you an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast, in which Hank invited Christian counselor Joe Dallas to discuss same-sex attraction, transgenderism, and the church. Let's rejoin the conversation.
I am afraid that one of the greatest problems contributing to where we are now is worldliness. And let me explain that, Hank. Back in the 50s and the early 60s, when I was growing up, prior to the sexual revolution, the church essentially and the world held the same viewpoint as far as sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, prostitution, and so forth. So what you heard preached on Sunday morning was largely reinforced in the schools, in the TV programs, in the culture at large. However, when it comes to homosexuality, the world held a tremendous amount of contempt towards homosexual people. And I am afraid that too often within the church, that contempt existed as well. And that is not a biblical posture to take towards homosexual people. It is biblical to say that homosexual behavior is a sin. It's not biblical to look down on homosexual people. I remember when I was starting my ministry, it was very hard to get people to even see the value in ministering to people who had been caught up in this sin. There was, I really felt, a genuine hostility on the part of a lot of Christians towards homosexuals. That was a worldly attitude, largely reflecting the attitude of the world. Now I'm afraid we're still in danger of being worldly as the world has shifted and now celebrates homosexuality. Within the churches, you've got more and more people, and Hank, as you know, 30 years ago when you and I started talking about this, the only churches celebrating homosexuality were ones that already had departed from orthodoxy, so you expected it. That's not true today. Many Christian leaders have come forward and declared themselves to be pro-gay, and they also tend to identify themselves as evangelicals. So we are adopting either a revisionist position where we're revising our position to match the world's, or we are minimizing the importance of the doctrine of marriage by basically saying, oh, well, some Christians are pro-gay, some Christians are against homosexuality. You say tomato, I say tomato. Let's not argue about it. Let's all just get along, as if it's a non-essential issue. And some are just paralyzed into silence. It's too much trouble. And those are all, I think, very carnal approaches to a very serious spiritual issue.
So go back to the embryonic stages of the sexual revolution. Obviously, we get rid of God. And now we become autonomous, and now truth is no longer determined by an objective moral standard beyond us, but we now determine truth by the size and scope of the latest lobby group. And so now truth is in the eyes of the beholder, and we have this incredible sexual revolution that takes place. I mean, you've talked about this starting way back with no-fault divorce.
Oh, I think that was one of the landmark decisions, one of the landmark trends, if you will, that we are still suffering from. And I think that that is symptomatic of the broader mindset of the sexual revolution, which, as you said, Hank, was largely determined by who is the loudest lobbyist, but I think also by our passions. We took God out of the equation. We made gods of ourselves then. We basically said, what feels right to me is now right. So if I want to dump my wife, if I want to have multiple partners, if I want to yield to homosexual passions, that's what I want, that's what I will do. And I think in that frame of mind, you are guaranteed the confusion that has come with no-fault divorce and with the sexual revolution in general, because I think the overarching principle was summed up in one of the popular sayings of my own childhood: if it feels good, do it. And if there is no God, I don't know, Hank, that that isn't a logical kind of a philosophical position to take. If I did not believe that there was a God, I'd just say, what do I want?
Yeah, I mean, the Apostle Paul says that. He says, if Christ isn't risen, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So you have no-fault divorce. That's one of the dominoes. I mean, I suppose the real thing that we ought to be talking about is marriage, because that's one of the most significant pillars of all of human civilization. And now, for many people, same-sex marriage is the new Selma.
Yes, and in fact, when you say that, you're actually, I think, Hank, answering one of the most commonly asked questions, too, is how on earth did this movement become so powerful? Well, I think that when people look at Selma, they not only see a controversial issue being addressed systematically, they also see nobility. Because today, I think people are very hard-pressed to find noble causes they can fight for. So when somebody comes along and says, gay rights, gay marriage, that's the new Selma, people who want to fight for something noble are very quick to believe, oh, well, that must be a noble cause, I will fight for it. Which is why I often say the gay rights movement is not just made of gay people. It's made of many heterosexuals who support the redefinition of marriage and who feel very passionately about this, not because they've examined the issue and come to a logical conclusion necessarily, but because they are passionate to take up a noble cause and they have been convinced that this is just such a cause. So you're right. I think that that is seen, not only seen as it is, a watershed event, the redefinition of marriage. And where you have the redefinition of marriage, it is inevitable that you will have the redefinition of gender. We used to assume one is male or female, not anymore. The definition of your sex is up for grabs. And basically, we are entering a mindset which says, what I think or feel is fact. If I say I'm a woman, I'm a woman. If I say I'm an animal, I'm an animal. If I say that three people can make up a marriage, then three people can make up a marriage. We are reserving for ourselves the right to speak into existence what is. And that is a divine right. Thereby, I really think that the terrible thing happening today, Hank, is we are assuming divine prerogatives that we do not have.
Do you think, Joe, at some point that all of this will come crashing down upon itself? I mean, you think about the Boston Marathon, for example. I mean, here, I was reading in the newspaper the other day that someone who identifies as a woman, though biologically a male, can get a very, very substantial benefit by winning the Boston Marathon. It seems at some point that the females are going to say, this is not fair. It's not right. I mean, there were some testosterone level issues that were talked about by Olympic committees, but that seems to have gone by the wayside with the Boston Marathon.
Well, exactly, Hank. And there are women, not necessarily Christian women, not necessarily women who object to transsexualism, who are saying that very thing, that, hey, wait a minute, this is not fair. So in a way, there's a dark humor to all of this, the confusion that is set up when you embrace madness, because then you do have to face these kinds of situations where women can rightfully say, hey, is this really fair to us? That someone who simply identifies as a female but has obvious physical advantages is allowed to compete with us as though we're equals. So, you know, what happens when you build a Tower of Babel? Eventually, yeah, everybody gets confused. I don't know what the outcome will be, if it will come crashing down to the point where we as a culture wake up and realize this social experiment has failed, or if we're going to just keep pushing ahead madly. I don't know. I am often reminded of the men of Sodom, even after they are blinded, pushing their way towards Lot's door. And I sometimes wonder if it is that kind of a madness we are inevitably dealing with.
I mean, at some point, I mean, there's got to be some pushback. Think about, for example, professional golf. I still remember Annika Sorenstam. At the time, she was the number one female player in the world. She played in a men's tournament on a relatively short, tight course in Texas. And she really did well, but she could not make the cut. It just simply could not make the cut. So you had the best female golfer on the planet that could not make the cut in a professional men's tournament. Now, if you reverse that process, if you have a journeyman on the PGA Tour who says, well, I identify as a woman, and plays on the LPGA Tour, the women's professional tour, that person is going to win all of the purses or a great, certainly make a lot of money. So there's got to be some pushback there just logically. I mean, in the Boston Marathon, maybe everything will just continue on in a ridiculous manner. But at some point, some sanity has to be restored.
Well, you see the terrible pickle we're getting into there, Hank, because if we are in essence saying that there is no such real thing as sexual distinction, then it becomes difficult to arbitrarily step in and make a distinction, no matter how obvious that distinction seems, because you just can't have it both ways. And I think that's where the confusion is coming in, is we are trying to have it both ways. We are trying to say there is no difference between male and female. You can identify as female if you're male, but by the same token, you cannot ignore the physical differences between men and women, and at some point, somebody's going to protest that as well. But how do you protest it with any integrity when you are simultaneously fighting for this blurring of the genders? That's where it becomes completely insane.
Yeah, you talk about gender here, and I suppose the umbrella term would be transgenderism. But the reality is that you can't change your gender. I mean, you can do it cosmetically, but you can't really change your gender because it goes right down to the cellular level.
No, you really cannot, and this is why I am astounded at the illogic we are facing. On the one hand, we are telling people in California, you cannot change your behavior. If you're gay, you must behave accordingly, and it is a fraud to try to help somebody to change that behavior. On the other hand, and which, by the way, verifiably, that is not true. People can change their behavior. On the other hand, we are telling people, even though your DNA testifies to the permanence of the sex you were born with, we will support you if you surgically alter your outer body to match an inward conviction, even though if you are a male, you will not ovulate, you will not become pregnant, you can never really become female. If you're a female, you can never become male. We will join you in your delusion that you are becoming the opposite sex, even though physically that is impossible. Just extraordinary.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To listen to this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Christian counselor and former gay activist Joe Dallas in its entirety, it'll be available in the near future at equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. If you'd like to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth, and receive as our thanks for your gift Joe Dallas's book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, or any of the other resources mentioned on the broadcast today, call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. C.S. Lewis famously described himself as the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. As such, there's no better title for a show telling the story of his conversion than C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Max MacLean, a masterful storyteller, portrays Lewis perfectly, telling the story of how one man went from being the most reluctant convert to one of the most influential Christians of our time. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the DVD, C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also visit us online at equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org.